You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at CheeseheadTalks with an S. Also at Locked On Brewers, the show handle on Twitter. And Facebook.com/LockedOnBrewers as well. We'll talk with Dr. Scott today. Day late. But not a dollar short. Dr. Scott brings some good information today. Particularly, we really focused on maybe an eclectic couple of players, given they're not at all the same position. But we talked about Brandon Woodruff. Pardon me. We will talk about Brandon Woodruff and his ability to maybe become a real ace. Not just a number one starter for the Brewers or the ace, quote-unquote, of the Brewers staff, but an ace. A real ace. I'm talking about Scherzer. I'm talking about Strasburg. I'm talking about, you know, one of those real bona fide aces, Cole, in the National League. Does Brandon Woodruff have that type of potential? He throws 100. He's got four different pitches. You know, he's shown some worth in the postseason. Can he do that? Can he be that guy for the Brewers? What do the analytics say about it? We'll talk with Dr. Scott about that coming up. Also, talk about Ben Gamel. Okay, so look, the Brewers' outfield situation is very crowded. We all know that. You would think that David Stearns will, if the players in return are correct, he'll probably pull a move. Is Ben Gamel a guy who might get traded? I mean, I don't know how much you can get for him, but you know, Trent Grisham might be the other piece. Maybe Trent Grisham gets traded. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting aspect of this offseason here for the Brewers. So I'd like to see and talk with Dr. Scott about that. So that's coming up. I will get to the Brewer uniform unveiling or reveiling because it's the same thing as it used to be. We'll talk about that a little bit on tomorrow's podcast. I don't know. Not about the logo. I'm fine with the logo. I think the uniforms look cool. I'm all good with it. I just really think they gave a lot of attention to it. And it's, in the grand scheme, I don't care. It's fine. I'm not going to be a whole huffy about it. I'm not going to try and make a big deal out of it at all because it's not that big of a deal. It was just interesting to have Craig Counsell giving like an impassioned speech about the logo. Like, you're the manager. What are you doing? It was kind of strange. And they brought in, you know, some of the better players to model these things. Guys who probably live in California, like Ryan Braun. And they brought him back to Milwaukee during the offseason to model the uniform. And they had some dignitaries there. I mean, it's interesting. So we can talk about that a little bit on tomorrow's show and get into it. But I won't delay anymore. We've got a good conversation coming up with Dr. Scott. So he'll join us next right here, your Locked On Brewers. Of course, first we have to talk about sex. I mean, good sex. I mean, this kind of sex maybe you used to have, right? The kind of sex you still want to have. Maybe you're having good sex, but you think, well, could it be better? Well, I got something for you to try. Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Blue like the color blue. Go check it out. It is a chewable that has the same FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work, and this time they work faster because it's a chewable. So when the moment arises, you don't have to go and swallow the pill. You can chew it, and maybe it'll work faster for you to work quicker and better in the bedroom. So how do you go there? BlueChew.com. You go and you get a prescription online. It ships discreetly to your door, and you know it's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And so it's a good option for you to give a try to. That's blue like the color blue, chew.com. Right now, they have a special promo code MLB. So you plug in MLB in the promo code. You get your first order for free. You just have to pay the shipping. So BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Give it a try. See what you think. BlueChew.com, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Well, you know, we've been talking about a little bit the Lockdown Podcast Network of Wisconsin teams. Yeah, Bucks, 10-3 to start the season. Packers, huge matchup coming up on Sunday Night Football this weekend with the San Francisco 49ers. Could determine the number one seed in the NFC playoffs, maybe. A little early to maybe be talking about that, but it's there. And a huge opportunity for the Packers to go on the road and get a big win. That's being talked about over on Lockdown Packers. And, of course, Lockdown Badgers, both Badger basketball and Badger football underway and having good seasons. You know, the football season, football team might be a little disappointing with the way things have gone in recent weeks, but a couple wins in a row now, maybe trying to get back to the Big Ten championship game where I definitely fear what could happen when they play Ohio State again. However, go for it. And the basketball team beat Marquette on Sunday, so that's always good. So, Locked On Podcast Network, all over Wisconsin. Go subscribe to all of the Wisconsin Locked On podcasts and enjoy. Well, Dr. Scott pulled us a bunch of last. He stiffed us last night, is what happened. He stiffed us. He thinks he had better things to do, like take care of patients, right? But he's here today. And we're going to spend the next 15 minutes, Dr. Scott, on the analytics behind the revamped ball and glove logo. Go.
How about I just read every negative tweet I've seen over the last 24 hours about it? There aren't as many as I thought, actually.
No, people love the ball and glove logo. I love it too. It's just it's kind of funny. Whatever, it's fine. It was a little overdone. Okay, you didn't need to have the former commissioner there, and you didn't need to have
I think what this has been is they're trying to do a little damage control for when they change the name of the stadium. I mean, I think they're just getting ahead of things.
Yeah, maybe that's true. That's true. PR people. Anyway, no, we're really here to talk a little analytics, which is your specialty. Of course, Dr. Scott, brewmaths.com, also brew_maths on Twitter. And if you're not following him, follow him. He's got like a million followers. You got like five times as many followers as me, which of course pisses me off, but that's okay. That's not okay. It's terrible. He does analytics.
Ben's likable, people. Come on.
Sabermetrics for the Brewers and about the Brewers. So I want to talk about a couple players here. I'm also going to ask you in the coming weeks, maybe next week, about Adrian Hauser, because I think one of the things that you're going to have to bank on if you're the Brewers is that Brandon Woodruff and Adrian Hauser anchor your starting rotation is my thought here. So let's talk about Woodruff, who was really spectacular last year when healthy, right? So the question behind Brandon Woodruff is, can he be an ace? Well, the guy can throw 100 miles an hour, and he's got four pitches, and he's still pretty young. The Brewers have him under club control, I think, until 2023, if I'm reading this right. I'll double-check that. So a lot of years left for Brandon Woodruff and a lot of years of club control, and the future's bright, and he can really bring it, can he, Dr. Scott? I mean, this guy is promising as it relates to being a real ace, like a real ace, not a Brewer ace. But a real ace, right?
Right.
And what do you think?
I'm biased. And so, don't get me started about Brewers pitching. But with Woody, I don't have to stretch much. There's nothing I have to, get the listener too excited about. You just have to listen. 11-3, 3.62 ERA, a 1.142 whip. All those are very good. But let's take it a step further. We look at his pitching performances last year. He had three of the five most powerful pitching performances for the Brewers last year. If you look at strikeouts and walks, on May 26th, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, 0 walks. June 7th, 6 innings, 10 Ks, 1 walk. June 23rd, 7 innings, 12 Ks, 1 walk. So, I mean, we're right there. We're looking at 21 innings, 32 strikeouts, and 2 walks. That is a crazy stretch of baseball. And it was all pretty much bunched up. I think that there was one extra start in between there, but those were all pretty much consecutive. Now, if we want to, project him out and think, okay, can he be the ace that we all hope he can be and that he hints at? Well, let's look at his progressions. In 2017, his fastball went 94.81 miles per hour. 2018, it went up to 96. 2019, 96.8. And so not only is he doing really well in terms of the general statistics, but he's 26 years old, and learning how to do all these things better. The batting average against the fastball, opponent's batting average against the fastball in 2017 was 302 when he was throwing at 94 miles per hour. Last year, he was throwing at 96.8, and the batting average was 218. Hmm. Now, he's a power pitcher, but as you mentioned, he's got a pretty good repertoire. And to be specific, he has the fastball, change up and slider, and then in 2018 he added a sinker. In 2019 he even started throwing a curveball. And so I wouldn't say he's a five pitch pitcher yet, but he's kind of working in that direction. And so we got a guy who's young, who's already pretty dominant, and is getting better in almost every regard,
and needs to work on strengthening his oblique.
If you take that injury out of there, there's nothing bad to say.
No, I mean, you know, again, I'm not going to sit here and say he's Max Scherzer in the making or you know, anything like that, or Strasburg or whatever. Okay, I'm not going to go that far. But you got to think, you know, again, with the stuff and with what he's doing and how young he is. And you know, last year I think you could talk about as certainly a breakout season. Now, you know, it was his first full year in the majors, obviously, too. But just what he's done in the playoffs, right? He was very good, obviously, in the wild card game. And he... you know, the year before in the NLCS. But also pitching, right? He came in relief and was a huge cog for the Brewers. And so, you know, I feel like this guy has the makings to really become one of the best starters in the National League. And I
think you're totally right. And projecting pitching on a major league level is kind of a fool's game.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you're one of those two or three guys at the top, nothing can be counted on. You kind of have to start over every season. And sometimes the reason a guy goes downhill isn't even very objectively quantifiable. You kind of have to like look in the mental areas and wonder if something's gone wrong that way, like with confidence. I mean, it is a mental game. But with Woody, you know, there is a lot of reason to be excited. And he has everything you would want. If you're going to make an ace pitcher in a lab, in your crazy lab that you have in your basement, Ben, then, Woody is kind of how he would look.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's going to be a lot of fun this year just to watch the development. One of the fears I have, because this happens every year, is that every year – you get players on your team who were really great 1 year, you thought you could count on, and they fall off a cliff.
Yep.
Travis Shaw,
that's baseball.
Jesus Aguilar for a stretch. You know, it happens, right? And so on the pitching side, does that happen to a guy like Brandon Woodruff? That's what he's got to avoid, or who else? You know, could have happened to. I don't know if I'd say Adrian Hauser yet because he didn't put together a full season, but you know, could it happen? So that's really where. You know,
I think a lot of those questions, Ben, start to go away after this year. Woody, this is kind of the year where he's had enough, you know, basically experience now, and he's built up, he's made it through an injury, he's got playoff experience. The stage is set for 2020.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. So we'll have to see. But another guy who, you know, it's interesting because you've got a crowded outfield, right, in Milwaukee, and the just sort of the David Stearns idea of putting the puzzle together here. You've got that crowded outfield. Trent Grisham's in there now. Kane, this guy named Yelich. I don't know if he'll work out or not, but we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, it fills up Ryan Braun, obviously. And then you've got, Ben Gamel, who was really good in a lot of situations last year. Now, you look at his stats, I don't think, Dr. Scott, they don't overwhelm you. But it seems like he is a guy who is more important to the Brewers than his stats. And then that's where I'm like, whoa. That's a great discussion for what is the analytics side of things think. So when you look at Ben Gamel and, you know, last year, his season, and then you project him forward, what do you think?
Well, that should be his nickname on Players Weekend. What did you say? The phrase for Gamel? He's better than his stats?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that should be his name on the back of his jersey because he is. You look at his slash line from last year, 248, 337, 373 with a 710 OPS. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the major league OPS average last year overall was around a 760. So, I mean, you compare his 710 to that, and there's nothing to really get excited about. He had seven home runs, 33 RBIs, and so that's all kind of ho-hum. But if you go a level deeper with him, which is where you have to go because he's not going to be an everyday player, you look at, well, where can you get value out of a guy like him? And there are some pretty good clues if you look at the value tab on FanGraphs. Imagine that. you look at his value in terms of batting, it's a negative 6.2 in 2019. His base running value was a 2.5 and his fielding was a 3.7. Anything that's positive in these metrics is suggests that he's helping the team with what he's doing in that area. Anything negative suggests he's hurting the team. And so this would tell you kind of a, you know, if you just glance at it, that he's hurting the team with his bat and doing well with the base running and fielding. That's kind of counterintuitive if you look at his career numbers too. In 2019, his offensive value was negative 3.7. Defensive value was 1. Now, if we look at his career value, it was 0.2 in the offensive category and negative 8.9 over his career. And so he kind of switched last year, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, so where can we get value from him? I'm not hearing anything good, Dr. Scott. All right, just hold on. Now, his platoon, which means how he does versus right or left-handed pitching, it kind of gets interesting because last year, his platoon, if you look at against righties, his OPS was 657, and against lefties, it was 902. That's really good. Over his career, his OPS against lefties is only 771, which is about average. And his BABIP last year, or batting average on balls in play, was 400. And so that might not be sustainable, that higher, OPS against left-handed pitching. But even all that, you kind of consider everything there and it all sounds kind of negative. Well, then you start to look at the good things and it quickly becomes apparent how he has value to this squad. In 2019, now if you're going to listen to one thing about Ben Gamel, it's this. He was number one on the Brewers in the clutch metric with a score of 1.08, which means he comes up big when he's supposed to. If you're confused as what the clutch metric is, brewmaths.com has a whole explanation on it. But if guess who else had a clutch score of 1.08 last year? And since you don't know, and I don't want you to read my mind, I'll just tell you. It was Acuña Jr. I mean, so this guy is as clutch as one of the young stars in the game. His mark would have been 19th in the majors last year. And then let's just kind of wrap up Gamel by noting that every time he goes up, you know, and he brings that clutch to the plate with him. He is patient. He shows good plate discipline. He gives quality at bats. And so we're talking about a guy who wouldn't play all that often, but could be used in spots where you need a good base runner, a good defender, or a clutch at bat. And that is, that's ideal for a bench player.
Especially with the hair. Facial hair.
Especially with the hair.
No, unless he shaves, because he's done that, and it's probably not advisable.
Plus, I want the Ben Gamel fan club to stick around. I really like those guys on Twitter, so. If nothing else, bring him back for that reason.
Right, but I think, you know, I think when you look at this, it's hard to imagine the Brewers not making a move with one of their outfielders. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to be Yelich. I don't think it's going to be Kane. I don't think it's going to be Braun either. So that leaves perhaps Trent Grisham or a guy like Gamel, you know, and I don't know that the club, I think it'd take a high price tag to make a move with Trent Grisham or a higher price tag. And so I just think, you know, potentially Gamel could be a guy they move. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. See, to your point, you know, you'd lose some valuable Twitter accounts. but you know, yeah, he was clutch. I think if you watched the Brewers last year, you know that he was clutch because you remember him coming up with a lot of clutch hits.
Yep.
And so it's hard to replace that. But again, with David Stearns working the magic, I mean, you have to think that that could be a possibility here, unless you're going to see Ryan Braun a lot more at first base. You know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, they're going to have to get creative with the roster as things are. But so much is going to happen between now and when they actually start, you know, getting serious. And so who knows? You know, the thing you painted before, the picture you painted before of Gamel versus Grisham, I think is very accurate. If they are going to make a move where we start to shift pieces around to other teams, those are the two guys you probably look at, you know, right away.
Yeah.
And Grisham, his value is probably at an all-time high right now. So
Yep, no, that's true. It's just, you know, you just wonder what it really is and if the Brewers are willing to part with it, because he was obviously very valuable to the Brewers in 2019, and especially just on the hot rise as he had through the minors.
Yep.
You know, when he changed back to his more natural way of doing things. So
that's where Stearns comes in.
It is where smart guy comes in, that's for sure. All right, Dr. Scott, appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Ben.
And as always, you can find Dr. Scott at brewmaths.com or at brew_maths, his Twitter feed. Always, he just tweets nonstop. The guy is an incessant tweeter. It's crazy. I wish I had the tweet energy that he has, because it's good. And he's always tweeting about stuff, analytics stuff, opinions. Go check it out, at brew_maths, and follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow. So we will talk again about the uniforms tomorrow. I'll talk about the uniforms. We'll get into it a little bit. Just the optics around it, what they were trying to do, how the you know, Brewers look to move forward. Uniforms typically are way more important to a lot of people than they are to me. Now, I don't like an ugly uniform, and the Brewers have avoided that, which is good, but it's interesting. And I think I saw a lot of hate for the M with the barley underneath logo that they've been had since, what, 2000, 2001, when they moved into Miller Park. I don't have a lot of hate for that logo. I don't have a lot of love for it, but I didn't hate it. So we'll just talk about the strategy and the outcome, and they made a couple minor tweaks, but who cares? You know, it's a ball and glove logo, so it's fine. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show a little bit, get into it. So that's what's on the way. As always, find me on Twitter. Also on, Twitter at Lockdown Brewers, the show handle, and at Cheesehead Talks with an S at the end, my personal Twitter handle. So you always find us there on Twitter and Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. So go check us out there, Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. As always, rate and review the show, and tell a friend about us as your off-season fix for Brewers baseball. We're always here for you during the off season, so you can talk Brewers. You can find us also on Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Play, Spotify, Himalaya, all your major podcast platforms. Get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. I'll talk to you tomorrow when we bring you your Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.